What if everything you know, every belief, every value, every certainty, wasn't planted in you at birth, but accumulated through experience? In 1689, John Locke published a work that would fundamentally reshape how we understand ourselves. An essay concerning human understanding proposed something radical. We aren't born with preloaded knowledge. Instead, our minds begin as blank slates, and every idea we possess comes from living in the world. This wasn't just philosophical speculation, it was a direct challenge to centuries of accepted wisdom claiming humans arrive with innate truths stamped upon their souls. Locke's insight reverberates through modern psychology, education, and even artificial intelligence. When you realize that knowledge isn't inherited but built, everything from how we teach children to how we evaluate our own beliefs transforms. The question becomes, if we start with nothing, how do we come to know anything at all? Locke's era claimed certain truths. Logical principles like what is, or moral rules were innate. But Locke spotted a fatal flaw. If truly innate, wouldn't everyone recognize them immediately? Children don't grasp abstract logical maxims. People with intellectual disabilities show no awareness of supposedly universal truths. When defenders claimed these ideas emerge at the age of reason, Locke exposed the circular logic. If reason reveals principles, then every mathematical theorem would equally qualify as innate. Children reason about concrete things long before abstractions. A toddler knows a stranger isn't their mother well before understanding identity as a concept. Moral principles prove even less universal. Almost every moral rule accepted in one culture has been rejected in another. Locke recognized something more sinister. Declaring principles innate placed them beyond examination, creating blind credulity. Those claiming certain truths as innate positioned themselves as unquestionable authorities, wielding power through supposed divine insight rather than evidence. Having cleared away innate ideas, Locke revealed how knowledge actually develops. The mind begins like blank paper, acquiring all content through sensation and reflection. Sensation connects us to the external world, seeing yellow, feeling cold, hearing thunder. A child raised in a black and white environment would never develop concepts of scarlet or green. Reflection involves the mind observing its own operations, thinking, doubting, believing. Like alphabet letters forming infinite words, simple ideas combine into complex concepts. His most revolutionary distinction involved primary and secondary qualities. Primary qualities, solidity, shape, motion, exist in objects regardless of perception. Secondary qualities, like colors and tastes, aren't in objects, but are powers to produce sensations in us. The redness isn't in the apple, but produced in our minds by the apple's particle arrangement. This explains why the same water feels hot to one hand and cold to another. Locke revolutionized personal identity by rejecting both material, you're just your body, and spiritual, you're an immortal soul, explanations. Instead, identity consists in consciousness, specifically recognizing past experiences as your own. He distinguished three concepts: same substance, matter or spirit, same man, living body, and same person, a thinking, intelligent being that has reason and reflection and can consider itself as itself, the same thinking thing in different times and places. This yields fascinating thought experiments. If a prince's consciousness transferred to a cobbler's body, that being would be the same person as the prince. You don't remember being 2 years old, yet you consider that toddler you, because a chain of consciousness connects you backward through memory. The ethical implications are profound. We're only accountable for actions our consciousness owns. Punishing someone for deeds they can't remember would be as unjust as punishing one twin for his brother's crimes. Human courts must assume continuity, since they can't prove whether someone truly lacks consciousness of their deeds. But divine judgment, Locke suggested, would perfectly separate actions according to actual consciousness. Locke revealed how language both enables and undermines communication. Words are arbitrary signs for ideas in our minds, functioning only if others attach the same ideas to them, an assumption that constantly fails. When you say blue, can you verify others perceive the same color? Abstract concepts like justice create even greater confusion because our complex ideas differ significantly. General terms arise through abstraction, separating qualities from particular instances to represent multiple individuals. This necessary process introduces ambiguity, since minds abstract differently. Substance names like gold present special problems. We assume gold corresponds to something with a real essence in nature, yet our idea consists merely of observable qualities, yellowness, malleability, weight, not its underlying atomic structure. We confuse the nominal essence, our abstract idea, with the real essence, the fundamental constitution causing properties, generating endless disputes. Locke's remedies. Use no word without a clear idea attached. Ensure ideas are determinate. Conform to common usage when possible. Explain your meaning when deviating. Maintain consistent usage. Clear communication requires shared understanding, something we rarely achieve. Locke defined knowledge as the perception of the connection and agreement, or disagreement and repugnancy of any of our ideas. When we know white isn't black, we perceive these ideas disagree. When we know a triangle's angles equal two right angles, we perceive necessary agreement. He identified 3 degrees. Intuitive knowledge occurs when the mind immediately perceives agreement or disagreement, like knowing 3 exceeds 2. Demonstrative knowledge requires intermediate steps or proofs, as in mathematical reasoning. Sensitive knowledge concerns external objects' existence, and while less certain, still qualifies as knowledge. This framework reveals significant limitations. Our knowledge can't extend beyond our ideas. Regarding substances, we observe qualities clustering together, but rarely perceive necessary connections. We know gold is yellow, malleable, and fusible, but not why these qualities must coexist. Locke identified promising domains. Mathematics progresses because it deals with abstract ideas whose connections we can clearly perceive. Morality could become demonstrative like mathematics, since moral concepts are our own creations. For natural science, however, he recommended modest expectations. We can discover regularities through observation, but should abandon hope of comprehensive theories explaining everything. Locke recognized most judgments fall short of certainty, so he developed probability as the guide of our lives. We weigh evidence from experience and testimony, considering witness credibility, expertise, and consistency. The highest probability approaches certainty when supported by constant observation and reliable reports. For miracles and revelation, Locke distinguished faith from reason. Faith is assent based on divine revelation. Reason discovers certainty through natural faculties. Revelation can't contradict clear rational knowledge, yet it extends beyond reason's reach, revealing truths we couldn't discover independently. Locke identified 4 causes of error: lack of proofs, intellectual inability, unwillingness to use proofs, and wrong measures of probability. Many avoid examining evidence that challenges comfortable beliefs, a moral dimension remarkably relevant in our era of confirmation bias. Locke's enduring contribution isn't just specific arguments, but his comprehensive vision. By grounding knowledge in experience, he established empiricism as a dominant tradition. His analysis revealed how words shape thought and how linguistic confusion generates philosophical problems. Most importantly, he modeled intellectual humility, recognizing understanding's limits. Your mind started empty, and everything you know came through experience and reflection. Because knowledge is built rather than inherited, it can be examined, tested, and improved. You're not trapped by innate errors. You're free to question, investigate, and grow. In that freedom lies both the humility to recognize your limitations and the courage to keep building understanding throughout your life.